Continuing the second hour on SOP 8, I hope, if in a light fashion, I have covered to some degree the two most difficult levels, which are, regardless of what you might think, the most difficult levels, which are 7 and 6. There are those who believe the resistive 5 or the occluded case is the most difficult case. And that's what we're going to talk about now. It's really not true. The most difficult cases are those who fall into the neurotic or psychotic bands. And once again, may I ask you not to identify a technique with a condition beyond knowing that this technique belongs with that condition, where that condition exists, and that the technique also belongs elsewhere. Just because we say this is the way you treat psychotics is no reason why you should then discard the technique, for the good reason that if a technique reaches clear down to 7 or clear down to 6, it is obvious that it's a very, very good technique for the earlier steps. It's just as far out as you can go with a technique, you see. That doesn't mean that when somebody is run on self-analysis, he is a psychotic or a neurotic. Or when you ask somebody to find the realest thing in the room, that he is immediately a psychotic. Preclears have a tendency, by the way, to associate these two items, the step being used and the condition, because they're always asking for somebody to evaluate for them. And if the auditor won't evaluate for them, they ask the modus operandi of the science to evaluate for them. Number of hours people have spent looking over the tone scale, wondering where I am on the tone scale, they say. Let's see, I think I'd call them 2 here. That's right, I must be G-O, I must be about 4.0. Let's see, column 3, above that, probably about 5. Then they look over in column 6, and they all of a sudden say, 0.5. Well, that's no good. I'm not down there. I couldn't be down there. Just because life has been cruel to me all the time is no reason I'm down there all the time. So, please remember that the best possible technique then would be one which would go all the way through all steps. And so, it is. Now, don't think that take 10 minutes of nothing in 6 steps to better beingness, which we will cover later, would be a technique that would go all the way through to 7. It barely reaches to 5. You ask the 5 sometimes to take 10 minutes of nothing, and he comes out at the end of it with so many somatics, he's just about ready to spin. So that's not a very widely applicable technique to be put on SOPH, you see. I mean, you couldn't put it into SOP8 as reaching all the way through, even though it's a highly generalized technique. Of course, the next technique, immediately after 10 minutes of nothing, remedies the other step, and you keep the fellow going fairly well, but it'd be quite upsetting to a 6 or a 7 to take 10 minutes of nothing, because their entire anxiety is trying to get something. Now, from 4, including 4, down in the steps, 4, 5, 6, and 7, we have a scarcity of energy brought about by the preclear's continuous necessity to have something and no necessity to have nothing. He's got to have something. And, of course, this is followed through. He gets something, all right. He just gets solider and solider and solider. His engrams get harder and harder packed. Because trying to accept something from the environment, as far as the mind is concerned, is almost impossible. The only energy, and we're talking just about energy, the only energy which the mind has in it is the energy which the mind has generated. And even when somebody reaches in and blows up somebody's ridge or something of the sort, the energy which is recorded, again, is simply the energy of the preclear, being recorded by the preclear's energy. The explosion itself is not contained in the bank, and there isn't any energy contained in the bank. The pattern of the explosion has been retraced again on the basis of resistance by the preclear. And again, this pattern consists entirely of the preclear's energy. Everyone is holding on to both sides of all facsimiles. And when we enter case five is a little bit better off. Case five still has some energy. Of course, it's kind of black, but it's still energy. And if permitted to do so, case five will actually avoid further energy, because he's not so far gone, but what he realizes that taking this energy in from the environment isn't so good. So he sort of, he realizes that somebody's made an effect of him, and he still doesn't want to be an effect, and he's fighting back and forth about it, and case five is stuck there with a large black mass of energy. He can't get mock-ups or facsimiles. That's the definition of case five, mock-ups. But there is one markup which he can get. Most everybody overlooks this. Question and answer run on him would be run this way. Now, get a large mass of blackness is a question. Now, right where it is, get it as the answer. That would be Q&A run on him. Now, get a large mass of silence run as a question. Now get a lot of silence as an answer. Now get blindness as a question, and blindness as an answer. And he at that moment will say, how did you know I used to pretend to be blind when I was a little boy? If you're not up on the latest, you would immediately say to yourself, all we've got to do is run out the pretense and the postulate, I have to be blind, and he will cease to be a case level five. And this would all be very well if it worked, but it doesn't work. Now, in order to understand a case five, I'm afraid we'll have to go into the whole theory of the explosion. And I will try to do this rapidly. And if you find it too technical, well, then the answer to that is it's too technical. You understand that the cycle of life, as represented by the Vedic peoples, consisted of first birth, which is creation, and then growth, then stagnation and decay, and that was the cycle. Now let's look at that, and we find out Dr. Tapes has a lot about this. The cycles of action all follow this pattern. And there are lots of cycles of action. In 8008, they're listed, lots of them. And so we get to this cycle of action as a pattern cycle. Now, I'm going to draw it horizontally because you're all used to reading books from left to right, which makes that the future. That black, very black part of there is the future for the five. And so we go from this nebulous thing, this wild variable called nothingness, which in this case happens to be a Thetan. We go from there into what the Thetan creates or acquires and adds to. We come up here. We get to a point where this curve upwards finishes, and we start down where he's trying to live off what he already has. And then we finally get down to where he hasn't got anything anymore. And we again have the thing. And this is a cycle of action. And here we have at the same time creation, growth, and then decay and destruction. And this is the cycle of the messed universe. Why is it the cycle of the messed universe? Why does the Satan manifest himself in this universe this way? And this would be a little bit beyond you, quite in different ways in other universes, because he isn't nothing elsewhere. Very simple. When we get down to the problem, we find out that he's trying to approximate the messed universe. And what thing in the messed universe would he be most likely to approximate? The first thing he would encounter, of course, and that first thing happens to be space. So we have space, Satan, and his whole concept here is simply space. He understands that he has nothing when he has some space, because there isn't anything in this space, and this space and this universe is hungry. If he happens to be unfortunate enough to have something on him, when the messed universe first meets him, he is, to be colloquial, frisked immediately. Because the vacuum of space, containing no resistance, yet contains an enormous hunger for anything which is solid. Unless that thing which is solid is hung together with the greatest of cohesiveness, such as Earth. And so Mr. Satan would appear out in space someplace, if he appears in space. We're not talking about space opera now, we're simply talking about a being suddenly appearing in space. Same thing would happen if the air cover were suddenly ripped off Earth to some degree, the same thing would happen. And that would be that any particle of energy he had, which was closely compacted, would have more pressure in it than the space with which he was surrounded. And so you would get, theoretically, a sudden whoosh, and everything he had would be gone. There would be no resistance to energy in this space. He would try to handle it, and he'd find weird things happening to it, because it isn't his space. In his own space, he, of course, can adjudicate what the pressures are. But the messed universe tells him immediately that he is nothing, because it takes away from him anything he has. So the Satan in this universe considers himself to be nothing unless he has something. That's very bad to be nothing, he thinks. So the next thing you know, he's putting out this and that, and he's acquiring mess, which is the one thing he can acquire in this universe with great security. There's lots of it. There's also lots of space. You wouldn't think there's a scarcity of anything, if you took a good square look at this universe. The amount of matter present, the number of chemicals present, and the amount of space present, the number of points of fire present. Gee, most abundant thing you ever saw. Big fat. Anyway, you come up here, and he starts building, 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 building more things, more things, more things. But how does he build them? Well, he puts out some energy. He creates some energy or something of the sort. And the next thing you know, he's entered somebody else's anchor point area, usually, which is what's happened to him. And the next thing you know, he puts out this piece of energy and it goes, and it gets big. And as the rays reach back to him again, he would even hear its concussion. When he puts out a solid object into space, it, of course, is in a good condition to explode, if slowly. So he starts dealing with explosions. And all around him, he can see explosions in this universe. So it's very simple. If he's imitated the space of the universe already by saying it's nothing, he looks around at the most spectacular filling thing he can see in the universe, and it's an explosion. So he gets the idea he has to have an explosion. So he starts adding up explosions. An explosion goes up. Brightness, 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 you see? And goes off, dark, and usually is burned out by the time it reaches him, and that darkness, therefore, is painful, which is to say, the impact and the darkness are simultaneous, and pain is simply a collapsing perception line. So it's dark, and then it's gone, and he has nothing. So he's approximating this because the cycle of an explosion is nothing, growth, dark, nothing. That's the cycle of an explosion. That line there is understood. Nothing, dark, nothing. Nothing, bright, dark, nothing. Nothing, bright, dark, nothing. And this is what he has seen over and over and over and over. He resists five, loves dangerous environments, and he loves this, and he loves that, and he's got ideas about this, and he's got ideas about this, and he's got all worked out, and it's all figured, and it's beautifully figured, and he knows he can't look because it's black. He's used up all the bright out of the bank, and he has left the dark. One of the reasons why is admiration is the only thing which dissolves force. Admiration dissolves force. Force applied will get admiration from a Thetan. If you don't get admiration for force, you just haven't used enough force. If you don't get admiration, you've used too much force, and he isn't putting out anymore. It's a nice test, how much force you put out to get admiration. Admiration is a Thetan particle. It is not found in the messed universe. We get immediately to something quite interesting as a concept. We find out that the only healing energy of which I have any knowledge is that healing energy which is exuded by the beingness, the live beingness itself. Life can heal life, and messed cannot heal life. The only really therapeutic agent which you have at your command in a pre-clear is the Thetan. It's all very well to give him pills, but the pills work only because he mocks it up that they work. And that would immediately lead you into thinking, well, if you cure the idea that the pills work and you get over the pretense and so forth, and you get him over the pretense and the belief that he's really just doing this, and if he didn't do this and so forth, and we get all involved, we figure. Why, we're case level 5, so let's go on. Now, we have here this cycle of creation, growth, decay and destruction. That's what life does in this universe, you see. Approximated by the explosion, and the Thetan is evidently imitating an explosion, which goes from nothing to something dark to nothing. If you don't believe this, all of the, quote, secrets of life, unquote, start unrolling the moment you start running explosions on a pre-clear. Particularly if you start exhausting the bank, you'll start running them backwards. You go nothing, black, white, nothing. Or just nothing, black, white, nothing. Nothing, black, white, nothing. And he gets a feeling of regret, of course, because that's backwards. When you run an engram backwards, you get the regret off it. Fellow regretted doing something, which is to say he's trying to halt the action which is in progress. And you run it backwards and you get the emotion of regret. And so, becomes a very simple problem. The second one realizes that the Thetan can approximate something in this universe and is evidently doing so. How many men have been known to their mother and father as son? And how many men have found out that they weren't a good son? Fathers and mothers generally run for many years the beautiful sadness of having a son. And so he finds out he can't be the son. He'll tell you all about this, you see. He'll figure this out eventually. You just keep on running the process. More computations start coming off because you start blowing up circuits. And the reason you start blowing up circuits is you're feeding enough energy back into the bank. If you're very clever, you keep him feeding energy into the bank, because actually a resistive 5 will take it out faster than he mocks it up in. He will surreptitiously say, well, we really ought to run this concept, don't you think? There might be some white energy left in it. And one day, he runs all the white energy he's got out of the thing, and he finds out he's awful dark. Now, that happens. Doesn't mean that he's really any worse off. Just means he'd have to process a little longer to get back to where he was. The resistive five also is called a resistive five because he's usually a very tough, ornery, mean Thetan. There is a difference amongst life forms. They are individual, one to another. People low on the tone scale think of them as a large mass, which are undifferentiated. And the truth of it is, way up high on the tone scale, they do peel off of a large mass, but they peel off as individuals. They don't come off as we're part of the allness, and we're indistinguishable from any other allness. They don't do this. They know they're people. Fellow peels off from what you call, you can run this on a case in parascientology, the main body of Theta. He peels off from the main body of Theta. It's just like an airplane coming out of the sky or something of the sort. Why did he do it? Well, he had this markup down there. It was very interesting. It seemed to get in trouble. And so he thought he'd better go down and see about it and pull it out. Well, you say, what were you just before you did that? Me. Of course, the whole body is me. See? High degree of individuality without a lot of identification. So we get him running on explosions themselves. By the way, he has a tendency, if you run them backwards, if you were to warn him, just to run off some regret and emotion off the bank and to run energy out. This gives him an opportunity to. Whereas if you start him in mocking up good, honest explosions, you start him in generally, now, throw some explosions up there that you can't have. Okay. And he's running the resistance, you see, toward explosions. And he'll run it enough so that he'll start to get explosions. Fascinating. He starts throwing explosions around. He throws them over here, and he throws them over here, and he throws them up there, and he throws them back there, and he throws them. The blackness gets thinner and thinner and thinner. You're not interested in how thin it gets. More explosions, more explosions, more explosions, more explosions. How many hours worth of explosions? It's a mechanical problem. He gets down eventually to a point where he just can't seem to make any headway, and he's having a little trouble particularly, and he says, you know, there's always been this big slab of blackness across my right ear or inside my skull over here or back of my spine or something. Most preclears will have those, but the resistive five is too tough. You see, when he first started in to stack up energy, when he started in to resist the messed universe, he resisted. Crunch. So that some of the explosions which he resisted would have done for a worser person. And he still got that, you see. And he'll have this large black mass of something or other. You boil it all down, but that still stick around. Well, you just get lots of people admiring it. And then you have it. See, he's granted it an identity. There is the beginning of a demon. It's a ridge and a mass which is he won't take responsibility for. Well, at the moment the blackness hit him, after the explosion, he said, I didn't want the explosion. That's the postulate he always made by the time this beautiful, bright thing turned black and hit him. So it's no responsibility, and blackness are synonymous. So that loss and blackness are synonymous. Loss, something went away, which is a part of an expanding set of anchor points, you see? It's like an explosion, something going away. It's part of a dispersal. And right after that, he knows what he gets on a part of a dispersal. He knows what he gets from explosion, blackness. So you very often get people turning on blackness with loss. Well, you get this thing, this core of blackness, you get it to mark up lots of people admiring it. It isn't a real, it isn't alive. But he's granted it aliveness by saying it isn't mine. You can run out a lot of things on a concept, but don't. The concept is lovely. Well, I can't do anything about it, I guess. That means no responsibility, which means I have not sufficient force to overcome this obstacle. And I can't do anything about it says I have no force about it. It's synonymous, so I have no force and I have no responsibility becomes synonymous. And in this way, you get the no responsibility factors which will occasionally show up in your resistive fire. Very well. What does for your five rather neatly? Just lots of explosions. How many hours worth of explosions? How do I know? Not anywhere near as many hours as you will have to follow with a neurotic with self-analysis. Nowhere near the number of hours, but lots of hours. And you really shouldn't keep interrupting a pre-clear. I do this every once in a while. This fellow starts off on conversation number 63. I've heard it so many times. I know what he's going to say. I know what he's run into, and I know what he's leading into. I know what conclusions he's made, and so forth. And I'm all set trying to process a pre-clear. And he's, of course, trying relievedly to put out a couple of anchor points. And right about the time he's all set to put out these spoken anchor points and inform you that he has just gotten a clue on something or other, I am liable in my haste to overlook this fact and say, well, let's get on to the next explosion or something of the sort. You know, you see him kind of deflate. You exploded at him. Now, why does this blackness hang up? Well, it's because he got perceptions in explosion. Therefore, he gets the idea, he identifies perception with an explosion. Well, if he identifies perception with an explosion, he then believes an explosion takes place before perception is received. And he is alert to receive the energy which took place prior to the perception. He's alert to get hold of that piece of energy. And it isn't there. So the messed universe gets him to fighting nothing. A radio goes yap, 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 yap. The fellow sits there and listens to it for a while, and after a while he gets tired because there's no explosion there. If you don't believe this, just start, as I showed you in that demonstration, just start mocking up a bunch of explosions. As far as that's concerned, any speech from anybody does this. Any speech. If a person is delivering out a considerable quantity of energy, people can at least mock up the amount of energy which is being received, and it is less aberrative. But a fellow who talks in a schoolroom, well, children, today we're going to take up side angle side. I'm sorry, I can't get my voice down there. Very, very dull, you see, very quiet, and so forth, without any aliveness to it. He's starting in toward messed. But live theater will never perish because there is theta energy back of every spoken word. There is a tiny explosion back of every perception. There is an explosion there. But the radio... Nuh-uh. The movies? No. The books? No. Now, what do you do when you read? Your five is always a very educated fellow. Why? Why does every educated man you run into that you can talk to who knows anything turn out to be a resistive five? That's because in order to read, you have to suppress white and receive black. If you want to give any pre-clear a sudden flash of a book, just get him to suppressing white in brackets. Don't tell him what he's suppressing. Just say, get the idea of suppressing white, suppressing white, suppressing white. Other people suppressing white for other people, suppressing white. All of a sudden, Clark gets this funny idea, and he'd get a facsimile or something of himself sitting there reading a book. There's nothing much to this, you see. I mean, it's not very hard suppression, but all blackness in this language is synonymous with knowledge, mystery, And what is the significance?
Well, why?
It's because it's bright. That's fine. Who worries about it when it's bright? You can perceive when it's bright, but then it gets dark. And a person who sees a flash off there says immediately afterwards, oh, I wonder what that was. Well, that's about the time the black reached him, you see. So if you get somebody, just run the concept for a moment. What is the significance of that? Actually, everything is liable to turn a little bit black. What's the significance of that? The mystery. Yes, very important thing, the mystery. There's one society, a rather barbaric society I heard about. Somebody told me about this society. I was never there myself. Where they took a small child and they put him in a cubicle at a very early age and they restrained all motion. They kept him in this cubicle for a number of years and all the time had him suppress white while he was in the cubicle. And then they gave him a diploma and he was educated. And everybody was cross with him because he didn't go into a high level of motion with his education. Of course, societies of that character are completely beyond your comprehension. No society would ever do this to anybody. But there's the restimulation of the blackness. Suppress the white paper and you get the black ink. And the black ink is supposed to say things to you. It's supposed to have significance, you see. Only, of course, blackness doesn't contain any significance. So you write on a maybe. And then the teacher says, now write it all down on an examination paper.
Ooh.
But it doesn't have any significance. Now, a person is asked to read a novel. The only reason people read novels and read stories like I used to write is because they don't have enough action in their own lives. It's pretty hard to get a 4, 5, 6-year-old child to sit down and read Dostoevsky. He is not liable to ask, what is the significance of it? He's liable to be completely incredulous that anybody, but by the time he's gotten to be 25 or 35, he sits down and he says, isn't it significant? Significant of what? Russian writing? Well, it's significant of Dostoevsky, of course. Poor old Dostoevsky had embraced the Christian church before he got through. Poor fella. He's about the best there is over there. And you still would have a hard time, really, sitting down and justifying reading Dostoevsky if the rockets were waiting outside to play with you. I'm afraid you wouldn't do it. I'm afraid if a style show was going on with lots of pretty girls in it and so forth, and it was all free and there was lemonade and beer included, and it was just as close to you as the book, I think you'd go to the style show. Of course, at this level of society, it would probably have to be as close to you as the book before you'd go. All right. You get the idea, then. The fellow's picking up his anchor points from this close with the future over here on his right side. And he isn't bothering because he hasn't got enough sense to mock up all the scenes he sees described. But if he had enough sense to do that, he would then be delivering into the hands of an author the command power to regulate his own mock-ups exclusively. And he would go through years and years and years and years and years, you see, of habitually depending exclusively upon somebody else to give him a mock-up. And this would be very sad indeed. The other thing that worries a five comes from one of the pre-logics. There are five pre-logics. They consist of the mission of Theta, the effort of Theta, is to locate things in time and space. Also create time and space in which to locate things. And an explosion sure does that. If you've ever been sitting on anything that exploded, it sure relocated you. And so one has a tendency to avoid spots where he's been blown up, simply because he was moved, not because it was dangerous to be there. And one gets into the habit of being moved through the universe by something else. And when one is being removed from hither to thither by something else, he gets into the very bad habit of depending upon the environment to move him around. And when he depends upon the environment to move him around, and when he's had lots of explosions move him around, the dispersal characteristic of the explosion or the dispersal characteristic of moving around generates a feeling of fear in him about going back to places he has been. And he is unable to return, which makes it impossible for him to exactly duplicate anything. The inability of the person to go back down the time track exemplifies this. It merely means he was unable to go back to a geographical location. You can find the geographical location that he can't return to, too, and just run reach and withdraw toward it, and reach and withdraw toward him, and it'll show up just as mechanically as that. So we have this condition whereby all a person's activities can be traced back on an aberrative level, which is dependent on energy, which is a reactive level, can be traced back to the explosion. Now differentiate, please, between the reactive level of stimulus response as depending upon an explosion and the Thetan's ability to be or approximate or think up something to be anything. Now remember that this is not the Thetan working holy stimulus response. He doesn't work that way, but he's been handling things which work that way, which is to say reactive things and messed so long that he recognizes the pattern very ably and will eventually decide he might as well follow it along, which gives him the idea of going across this action. But because the Thetan, on his analytical beingness level, does not like to go this cycle, because it's reverse for him. It's not that he's a mirror image. The cycle just happens to be in reverse to the way he'd like to go. He doesn't want to get older and older and worse, and shorter cycles and shorter cycles. He just doesn't want that. He'd rather get better and better. That's his natural bent, but the explosion gets worse and worse. It gets big and bright and then it goes. All right. Your five is located on the wrong side of the explosion. It's as simple as that. And boy, will he evaluate on it. He's got to think about it before he can be, because he's fresh out of locations in which he can be. And you will find that the five has had enough bad things happen to him, he's been fixed in space enough, that he has decided there are many places he can't be. And unable to be there, he then is unable to return. And being unable to return, he also mustn't be left behind, so he becomes the only one. See how he could become the only one? He doesn't like to be left behind. You know, you often hear somebody say, well, it was all right for me to leave him, but it was not all right for him to leave me. Well, that's just an explosion operating, that's all. Mustn't be left behind. Why? How is this an explosion operating? Residue, debris, and residue is the unadmired end of the explosion. And that which is not admired tends to persist. And the five has come to the end of the explosion where all he has left is the debris, which is what is being left behind. So he's very anxious about being left behind computationally. He's got to excel. He has to be the one that does the leaving. Yes, because the conservation of energy tells him that you can't burn cinders. So you can't do anything about residue, so that's a real point of apathy, and that's what's left behind when the explosion explodes. Now, this sounds too dopey for words. Don't bother with its explanation, because you can get that off any resistive five, if you just start in running explosions on him in brackets. Now, you run it in a bracket, then you handle a case level five, actually the best method I know of to handle a case level five now, is step level 5 of SOP-8L. And that has the single difference of you run explosions at case level 5, and you mark them up in brackets. In other words, you have the preclear mark up explosions for himself. Then you have somebody else out in front of him mock up explosions for themselves. And then you have other people somewhere else mock up explosions for each other. And then you have, if you want to finish off a complete bracket, the preclear mock up explosions for other people, and other people mock up explosions for the preclear. Which is, of course, what people used to do to each other's mock-ups like mad. A fellow put up a mock-up and somebody blow it up. That's what the Thetan's trying to do. What is the Thetan trying to do? He's trying to put up a mock-up. Kind of simple. But a kid, if you start giving him mock-ups out of self-analysis, he'll actually do it just day after day after day after day. It's the one thing a Thetan loves to do. And if he's not permitted to put up mock-ups in MEST, which is best, by the way, he'll put them up in his own universe. He thinks it's much better to put them up in MEST. A painter would much rather paint a painting over here on the wall, because then it gets other people's admiration, and he thinks he can then pick up other people's admiration, use that in the bank. It's very interesting. What he's doing, he can do approximation in his own bank of the admiration which is coming to him, which is an exterior control, which gives him a pattern which he can then mock up. But if he can no longer mock up a pattern which is coming into him, he can't get other people's admiration admiring his painting. So he begins to believe that people don't admire anything because he can't feel any of this admiration. Well, that's because he isn't mocking up the admiration which is coming into him anymore, so he has some admiration. Now, You just run this in brackets, as I gave it to you there, and he'll start learning about life. He'll tell you astonishing things. He'll suddenly say to you, "You know, I just can't stand the idea of accepting money from anybody." And you'll say, "When did that come up?" And you say, "Well, what do you mean?" And he'll say, "Well, it just occurred to me that all the bright and beautiful things of life are only possible if you have money. And I suddenly realized when I was a little child, I used to like bright and beautiful things, but I didn't have any money to buy them with. And then my uncle gave me some money, and I bought this, and it broke." It would be some very, very involved thing, you see, and he'd go off, tail off into some long explanation of how this all comes about. Well, you just run a few more explosions, and he doesn't care whether he had any money or didn't have any money. Well, at first, you may have to run these explosions. You ask him to get an explosion, and he thinks you mean something that would go bang and real fast, and he won't do that. He's got so much pressure on it all. He's suppressed in order to get hold of, if you please, enough, not so he wouldn't get hurt. He's suppressed so many explosions in order to get hold of them and own them and grab them, that he's gotten the idea that he has to suppress all explosions And do you know you wouldn't be able to get the fellow to hold a lighted stick of dynamite in his hand if you paid him? He thinks he has to suppress all explosions. So when you get a person reading too much, he's suppressing white, which represses his explosions, and he's living in a carbon-oxygen engine, and the carbon-oxygen engine needs explosions in order to exist, and only exists and only runs if it can be permitted to explode in a certain way, and so he suppresses existence and runs down, and he's... This is just one of the explanations you will get from a five as you go on and on with this process. He'll just give you lots of them. Well, don't stop him too often. The poor fellow can't put out anchor points anymore. Let him tell you about some of them. But if he starts going off on nothing but philosophy, and if he goes over 15 or 20 minutes on one explanation of why it was that, you better stop him and get another explosion in. Because what he's trying to do is run out and eat up the whiteness he has just mocked up on the pretense that he has a good reason to do it. So there's your five. All right. Step level four of SOP 8L is a slight variation on expanded Gita. And it is expanded Gita run, as I've mentioned earlier, so that you feed the bank the various objects which it is resisting. And the only reason you do this in SOP 8L is to give the person a good insight and understanding into enough things so he'll let go of some of his most cherished problems and get on with processing. And that's why we have SOP 8L as a slight variation and part of SOP 8. It's not another process. It's SOP 8 addressed toward cases which start sliding down the line too far and which have to understand before they can be. And it is introducing the very best method I know of for handling a resistive five. This is at this time, that's the best method I know of. So we get SOP 8L at step level 4 using expanded Gita not to remedy a thing in terms of energy, really, but just enough so that he'll see that he has to accept a certain level of being ill. You see, we're in a society at this time where it's not polite to be well. Particularly America. America's gotten itself into a dreadful situation because everybody is so equal. And if everybody is equal through a country, you are immediately posing the very bad situation that one psychotic sets up an example that anybody is supposed to be equal to. That can be very rough. So you get an impressed level of agreement, one with another. So what's acceptable is a slight case of dyspepsia or something of the sort. A person has to have something wrong with him. And so you start feeding him an acceptable level of illness. Now just get an acceptable level of illness. Now put out the level of your own discomfort until somebody shows up that it was acceptable to. Oh, this is tricky. This is a sneaky one. You just say, put out your condition out front till somebody shows up it was acceptable to. This will clean out postulates out of the bank, but it doesn't do terribly much for the case. It brightens the case up. And it sure teaches them about life, because there's Grandma. He says, what? Well, it seems like the only thing Grandma would ever accept from him was being ill. He would run around and be happy and cheerful. Wasn't acceptable. But he'd stub his toe or get a cough or something like that, and immediately Grandma would say, And he runs this for a little while, and he all of a sudden will say, you know, all that old lady wanted was sick people. This will suddenly come to him. You start running grandma accepting illness elsewhere, and this will suddenly occur to him. This was all that was acceptable to her. She was sweet and sympathetic all the time. When you were sick, but boy, she sure didn't like well people. It'll come to a person immediately that he wanted his parents worried. What was acceptable to him was a slight level of worry, because the only time his father would pay any attention to him, he suddenly discovers, was when there was, his father thought there was something wrong. So his father would say, "What's wrong? Have you hurt yourself? You know, what's wrong? Have you hurt yourself?" And that was the only attention Papa ever gave him. So naturally, he had to worry Papa a little bit to get some attention. So he finds himself winding up eventually with the computation that he had better worry. So he's worried. What's he worried about? Well, he'll give you a lot of reasons why he's worried about it. A worried condition was what his Papa had concerning him, and so he began to miss this. You see, Papa was no longer as worried as previously. So the answer to this, of course, was to set up being worried. Papa, being worried, question, how do I make Papa worried? Answer, Papa worried. So he's in Papa's valence a little bit and worried. About what? Well, if you watched him for a little while, you'd find out what he was worried about, because he would start expressing it. All of a sudden, there's a backfire in the street, something on that order, and a squeal of brakes. And this first time he showed any animation at all, he immediately rushes to the window to see if somebody was hurt. An impact has happened. And this is so he can be sympathetic. How can you be sympathetic? The way to be sympathetic is question and answer again. Q&A. The way you'll be sympathetic is simply to be the other person. Sympathy is mocking oneself up as the other person. And if one does this expertly, one thinks he gets the energy from the other person's illness, you see, or impact. Operations are real tasty. If you don't believe this, I think Hippocrates was one of the first to state that a patient should go around and tell about his operation 6 or 7 times. They always did. And you go out in the Midwest, that's a part of the United States, I think it was the last time I looked, and you go back on the farm district, and believe me, if somebody's had an operation, boy, has he got conversational material. He just got it for years to come. Of course, after a while, everybody will have enough mock-ups of his operation so they don't consider it tasty anymore. But they'll still sit there and listen while Uncle Bill tells about the time he had his 3 toes amputated for frost. It's impact, you see. This is the way it works out, then. That you have things that resisted until they become accepted, and that, unfortunately, is the acceptance level of the individual. And a person runs step 4 of SOP8L simply by running his condition as acceptable and other people's conditions as acceptable and remedies as acceptable, and then you try to find things that really are acceptable to him. Now, the SOP8 list of expanded Gita is very helpful. But there's one being printed in the later PAB that you will find even more shocking. Very well. This isn't therapy so much as an education. He finds out that he has resisted dirt to a point where he can't have anything but dirt. So he stopped bathing. But that's very peculiar. He remembers distinctly being well trained in bathing. Beaten, in fact. And so he gets hold of a mass of energy, which consists of his beatings, impacts. And when he picks these up, they have the aberration in them. Don't bathe, of course, because dirt, every slash or the whip that he was spanked for being dirty about, has in it, actually, very often, literally. Have you ever run this phrase out of a pre-clear? I'll teach you how to. When he picks up the mass of energy, which is desirable to him, he also picks up the thought panel, which he then tolerates. But then he doesn't realize why he's so unhappy. Energy's good. And yet somebody says this is bad. And pain is bad, and this is bad, and that's bad. And it's so bad everywhere else you have to look where I tell you to look, you see. That's the way it runs. Very well. You take the expanded Gita list and you simply run the expanded Gita list as acceptable. What is acceptable in it? What's unacceptable? What's acceptable in it? Boy, you'll find some strange things, because you'll find that some of the things in the expanded Gita list have to be put into an incredibly bad, undesirable form, as far as you're concerned, at which moment they become very acceptable to the pre-clear. All right, brains. Nothing happens. Dull brains. Nothing happens. Dead brains. No. Decayed brains crawling with maggots. That's the way it goes. This fellow realizes to him that he actually has. All of a sudden, it shows him to himself suddenly as what he's pretending not to be all the time, but he knows he has become, and he feels like sort of a Mr. Hyde under the cloak of a Dr. Jekyll. Because the society at large wouldn't tolerate him for a moment with this acceptance level, so he says he hasn't such an acceptance level and won't accept it himself analytically. Oh, no. But there's his reactive mind just dying of starvation for something too horrible to mention, even on a tape. And what you do is cure a flock of appetites. It's therapeutic. Sure. It had run out. You just ran explosions. But he all of a sudden realizes this is what's happened. And he faces for the first time the fact that he had an appetite for such a thing. I've had a pre-clear look at me very alertly and very smilingly and all of a sudden tell me, well, you know, that's the first time I ever admitted it to myself. You run it a few times and he has no such appetite. It's gone. But he's been suppressing the appetite. And so we run into Freud's unconscious mind complete. And we could run it out complete. And it's explained utterly as far as the pre-clear is concerned. And therefore, we're happy about it. And that, there goes the unconscious, the sputter conscious, the id conscious, and all the rest of the suppressions and mayhems, and the savage and brutal ravings, and so forth, of the barbaric and primitive self. Has any barbaric and primitive self? The person gets this when he gets civilized. When he gets real civilized, he really develops some weird appetites. Because he's been told he can't have this, and he can't have that, and this is inhibited, and that's inhibited. You get the poor old savage running around, climbing trees, eating each other up. Oh, they're happy about it. You go around to a cannibal, probably. He's trying to run out a scarcity of men. So, in such a way, we can solve very easily a pre-clear's inability to understand why it was that he never got along with certain people, why he was never quite acceptable to his parents, And this is one of the most revelatory things that happens. He realizes the acceptance level of his parents was too low for his own consideration. He will usually suddenly decide this if he is one of these rejected people. He'll find out what was acceptable to his parents. And it's usually quite weird because it's very weird through the whole race. And if he had been a sick, anemic, very, very studious, an extremely obedient little boy, or if she had been an entirely gaunt, sex-starved female, he or she would have been completely acceptable to the parents. Utterly. The bird says, well, no wonder I'd ever wanted to get in with this family. I wouldn't be such a person. I just wouldn't. I wonder if that's why I am that kind of a person now. Well, and so we bring it up to step four. That's a very simple thing to run, you understand. It's just run horrible things in brackets. And you just run them until the preclear finds some things he'll accept and find out what kind of people the parents accepted. And he suddenly begins to winnow out existence and he takes a look at it. And his familial problems and that sort of thing have a tendency to vanish. It's a very, very easy thing to run. What is acceptable to the parents, he finds out. What's acceptable to him, he's astonished and incredible. All it takes to run this is an imagination which you don't care how horrible it gets. And that's good for you, too. All right, and so we've got step four of SOP 8L. Good old step four of SOP 8 is still quite workable. But the best things to run in SOP 8 and the things that you should really teach the preclear about are as follows. Wasting, fighting. Wasting work. Wasting pain. And wasting admiration. You don't care how he wastes these things, but you want them wasted in brackets. Wasted for himself, wasted for others, and wasted by others for others. Those are the four. And they're really all that's important. But there are the most important ones of the category. Because they suddenly demonstrate to him that work is scarce and he wants to work. They demonstrate to him that pain is not unbearable and is even desirable. And they tell him that he shunned admiration because he's seen it given away to too many unworthy objects. And it tells him he hates force because it's fighting is something he doesn't dare have. And it brings him out at the other end of it, scrappy as a bantam. And then he gets mild as can be. Why fight, he says. Except maybe it might be exciting. Well, so expanded Gita actually could be boiled down to just that. As given in SOP 8, in the issue 16G, it can be run just like that, in brackets, as the only amendation. Just like it's printed in issue 16G, and it'll get therapeutic results. But we don't need that much processing now. We want to teach him something about life. That's the only reason we're processing him at that level. And the only reason we're processing explosions at case level 5 is to feed the bank. And mock-ups at case level 6 is, again, to feed the bank energy. We've got starvation problem. And we go right straight down the line through step 1, step 2, step 3. And if we're successful in any of those three steps, we do not have an immediate problem of starvation in the bank. So we just run those off. Well, we'll cover those later in the next lecture.